Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, here we are again, another week, but this one is going to be a continuation of our animal totems or animal guides. And like last week, we talked a lot about my white lion and my giraffe and Maya Moon. My lovely Maya Moon is here, and I'm sure she's going to be able to elaborate more on this subject. I did a little bit of research, and it's very, very popular. You can go to a lot of places online that will discuss, you know, by your horoscope, your date of birth, what your totem is. But I don't know. I like to trust Maya Moon because that's too general for me. So anyways, welcome, Maya Moon. How are you tonight?
Well, that's a nice compliment. Thank you. I'm doing great. And as always, I'm so glad to be here with everyone. And I want to personally welcome all the listeners. I know that we've been gathering quite a following for people that are listening. And just a reminder, too, if you missed a show, I had a few people mention to me and get a little panicked that really have say they've learned so much. Remember, you can always go to STARS, that's STARS with a Z, homepage, and click on the icon for Blog Talk. And it'll take you back to all the prior shows. Now, I'm not sure how far back it goes. It may go back to the beginning, but I know that it goes far enough that anything, you know, that's of great interest, I'm sure you would. I mean, we've covered, Natalie, right, so many topics.
Oh, yeah.
And all of them have been, you know, pretty
and
relevant.
And it does. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go there right now, and I can tell you what it has. It's got quite a few weeks in a row. I don't know, and I'm not going to lie, so I'm going to go real quick right now, and I'll tell you what it's got. If you click on it, it's got, well, of course, it shows right now. It's called Stars Radio. I don't know. Tony's got it. Let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows, but you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/StarsCast, StarsCast.
Oh,
it will take you to our homepage there, and you'll be able to get all of the shows. They're all archived. Every one of them is there. I might have Tony extend this a little bit because that really doesn't – I think he just figured, well, you know, that's enough, but I don't know. Some people are really interested. I mean, we talked about – so. I mean, my goodness, look at what we've talked about. It's amazing that we could talk all about that, and it really is. It's amazing, but we always manage to talk, don't we?
yeah, we never lack – there's never, like, long – uncomfortable silences.
Oh, no, not between us. No way.
Yes, yes,
we
yes.
can talk a lot. So where do you want to continue with this, Maya?
Well, I guess I'll just briefly start and then turn it over to you. So as we're, you know, last week we talked in a lot of detail about totems and guides, and I think it gave all of us, too, a chance to, you know, think about what it means to us. And so what I was going to throw out there is, you know, oftentimes people are very curious. It's very interesting, aside from being spiritual or being protective, you know, or protection or guidance as far as wisdom or emotional relationship guidance. I mean, it's just very interesting to imagine that there is an animal in spirit around us. So a couple questions that have been directed to me, not necessarily since the show, but just over the years. One of them has been, if I keep seeing something like, for example, a person keeps seeing a raven, or they keep seeing an owl, or, you know, just as examples, they'll ask me, could that be my animal totem or my animal guide? Yes, absolutely. And another question that's often asked is, if I have an affinity to a certain animal, like a dolphin or a whale, I mean, just this, just kind of like how you have with the giraffe. I mean, to me, there's a little bit of a difference. And I'm a scatterbrain, so I always tend to go off in different directions. So to me, our totem, and I think I mentioned this before, now this doesn't necessarily mean this is the only way of viewing this. And, you know, I'm always open. I always learn during the shows. I always, learn something. It's not just about sharing. But what I believe and what seems to be true for what, you know, been taught by my guides is that our totem, if you want to be really specific with the meaning and the definition of those terms, our animal totem would be a representation of characteristics that we have spiritually, emotionally, and cognitively, and especially in this current life, but also it just, you know, continuous continuity of it. So it would be kind of a reflection. So it would be one of those things, if I were an animal, I'd be a bear, I'd be a horse, or I'd be a giraffe, or I'd be a lion, or for me, I'd be a wolf. Now, our guide would be a separate animal or animals, and oftentimes they may assign, or we may have different animals, like one animal may be one that directs us and helps us to be aware and take note, which is like those that see a bird, they keep seeing the red cardinal, and they notice that every time they see it, it has an affiliation to a recent job offer that they've been considering, except it's a change in the field. So that's kind of a good example to me of guidance, where that particular animal is guiding you. And I do believe that we have animals that protect us spiritually against any type of evil, toxic, threatening type or questionable energies. And then we also have, in addition to our, you know, more spiritual, they're not really human, but we would call them that just as an explanation. They would look and appear to be more human-like than animals. So then we have our animals that are our guides and that help. We may have one animal that helps us to look at relationships or be open. So perhaps we'll see that animal, or we'll turn on the TV and it'll happen to be a special about, or we'll, you know, watch a show, or we'll feel drawn. So there's a lot of things in play. And like with many things spiritually, it's not always just, you know, really, really obvious. Sometimes we have to take a step back and, you know, put forth that intention. You know, it is my intention to connect with my spirit guide and or totem, depending on your belief, and that I would like to be shown what that is. And I will have clients ask me. Now, I do feel that, you know, and I'm not anyone that's worked with me, and of course anyone that knows you, Natalie, knows that it's not about the money for us. But really, this is a very good topic to seek a professional, spiritual advisor, because for those of us qualified, and I know there's many, 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 many that are qualified on the site, myself included, and working with animal guides and totems that can help you, those that say, well, where do I begin? How do I figure out, you know, did I dreamt about this? Was this just a random dream, or does this mean that this is my totem or animal guide? And how do I know if my guide is trying to get me to make this decision or move in this direction, or is it the opposite? So it's a good time to have an outsider's view and someone, too, that is able to read and interpret energy and karmic lessons and so on and assist you. And, of course, other than family may not be quite as spiritually knowledgeable as what experts are. I mean, it is what we do. It's just like I couldn't practice law. I don't have a law degree. So we all are, you know, or should be good at what we do, even though we're continuing to learn. But in addition, we're unbiased. It's not that we don't care about the person, but we don't have anything vested in interest in the outcome. Whereas if you talk with a family member, you know, should I leave him or should I stay with him? Should I change jobs or should I, you know, stick with this job? I mean, that family member may be fearful for you of making a change, or they may feel that the person isn't good enough. So they do have a personal stake in your life and your decisions. So that's not a good person to talk to. So anyways, it's a really good topic, and I do get it a lot. And usually I would say most of my clients have a much clearer and better grasp, even if they don't necessarily agree or resonate with everything that I share with them. They still have a clearer view and understanding of what animal guides and totems are all about. And many will say, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Now I know why this animal, I always felt, almost like for me, using myself as an example, you know, I can feel, of course, I've studied wolves. So those that are familiar with wolves, I can feel the power of the wolf, the way that they work their life, the way that they, you know, built their pack, the way that they work within the pack. But then I have other animals that are guides that I would say do things differently and help me in other ways. So that's how I know that was a big start, and I threw out, you know, there's a lot of arrows going all over in different directions. It's a good thing I wasn't actually trying to hit a target, because I'm not sure I would have hit it.
Boom, 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 all over. No, it made a lot of sense. And while you were talking, you know, mine is the giraffe and the lion. And if you think about stars, the giraffe, you know, is real tall, overlooks everything, right, can see everything. And the lion is pride, rather, his pride. And so that kind of applies to stars. I was sitting there thinking, well, how does this figure in, you know? But my granddaughter always calls me Gramble, because she said, Gram, she said, you're small, but you're really tough. Well, you know, you could apply that to the lion. I think the lion, just by looking at a lion, they're very strong. But they kind of like walk around quietly until they need to pounce on something, or they need to gather the females or a female. Then they can be a little bit rough and tough. And so I always take that as a compliment from her. She says, yeah, that's why I call you Grambo, because she said you're really, really tough. Well, I haven't had to be tough yet, but the lion, you know, can be fierce, but I don't see myself as a fierce lion, although I'm drawn to it, and I'm drawn to the giraffes. I don't, of course, ever see them in my surroundings, of course, but they've been, you know, predominant in my life, you know, many years back. And, of course, now the story I'm writing is called She Sits with the Lions. And where that came from, I have no idea. But I think it means something, you know. It applies to me. And I can't see me with any other kind of – do you see me with any other kind of animal at all, Maya? I don't. Those two seem to fit. How many can we have?
Well, I don't. I mean, I believe it's like guides. I would say that probably your average person, and some of them are very much in the background, so they play unless there's a reason for like a, you know, it's like a volunteer fire person, you know, that is rarely called out, but they still, you know, they're still a member, and if there's ever a real, you know, major need, then they can be called. So think of it that way. I always get the number 5 around the number of guides we have as far as our, you know, I don't want to say human because that's not really correct, but our spiritual, you know, guides. And then with animals, I would say probably 3 to 5, with 3 being, you know, probably the most common number, at least those that are used are significant enough that are relied on enough, whatever term you want to put in there, that there's something that, you know, would show up in our energy. If I did, for example, it just now, someone else might use astrology or they may use cards. So I'm just saying how I would do it. I would probably read the energy, and I might use a chakra, or I might use, you know, aura, look at the aura. But I would say 3. Now, see, to me, I would say that, you know, we talked about the lion and the cat, but I also believe that you have, I don't want to say parrot because I don't know if that's the correct species, but it's that type of, it's a very colorful, exotic bird that's found in what I would call a rainforest or in that type
like
of...
Like an Amazon. Amazons are colorful.
Yes.
They're big,
I say, like,
but they're colorful.
That's exactly correct. So is there... Now, I love birds, but I will be honest, I'm not that familiar with the different types and names. I know a couple of the ones that I've had over the years. But now, tell me, is that one that you ever owned?
No, I've never owned an Amazon, but everybody that knows me knew that I had Leo, who was an African gray. But he's not anywhere near as big as an Amazon, and he was just gray. They have the largest vocabulary. They can speak the most, and you can point to things, and they will actually tell you what it is, like if it's a ball if it's a number. There are birds that can do that. I didn't have Leo when he was little. When you have a bird when they're small, you imprint them. And I keep waiting for me to have one, but nothing has come my way. I'm not going to seek it out. But I would like a baby bird because they really end up, you know, they can nuzzle with you. And, you know, you think of a bird as they're going to bite you. But Leo, he showed, you know, he was a powerful bird. He would puff out if somebody came around me, if I was at his cage. Oh, he puffed out. He kind of like, well, don't get too close to her now. I don't like this. But, you know, of course, my cat, you know, Mushy does the same thing. So, but the cat is kind of like with the lion, you know, the same kind of thing, a protection kind of thing. But I've never had a baby one, so I don't really know. I got Leo when he was probably about 6 or 7 years old. And, of course, he passed away. It will be 2 years next month already. And I was thinking about him. Isn't that funny? Just before the show. But, you know, Amazons, you know, they're all in Africa, the rainforest, and they're beautiful, and they just fly everywhere. I would very much love, and of course, you do know that I want to go to Africa one day. I mean, I think anybody that knows me knows I want to go there. So, they are very beautiful, and they could, you know, because they can fly everywhere, and they're real pronounced with their size. The size is very big, and, yeah, I guess kind of like that would mean overseeing everything, flying around, and...
Now, do they have, because the bird that I'm showing, it's around the head area. It may not be completely, but there's a portion of the head area that is a very, very distinct distinct bright blue. It may look green sometimes. It may look turquoise, but it's a very what bird?
It might
is
be
that
an ectalectic. There's a bird called the ectalectic. That's what my son and daughter-in-law have. But Dixie girl, she's not as big as an Amazon. She's smaller than an Amazon. Amazons are just huge. I mean, their span of their wings, I don't even know.
Really big. So what
I think they're different colors.
Okay, because what color are you familiar with the Amazon having around the head?
Oh, blues and yellows. Blues and yellows, and they have like a black beak, a big beak. They're really pretty.
Okay, that makes sense. And are their eyes more human-looking than other birds are?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they're so large. Their eyes are large.
Right.
Okay. See, like, you know, and as the bird is larger, of course, their eyes are going to be bigger. And the Amazon is probably, other than the eagle, is probably one of the largest birds. And they are in the rainforest, and, I mean, they're just, like, wild everywhere. I mean, I've seen things on video about them. Of course, you know me. I love stuff like that. And anything with Kenya or the rainforest or anything like that. Now, there was a man that came to paint my house, the inside of my house, and he did 2 years of missionary work in Kenya. And, of course, he knew, you know, I think I had just lost Leo, come to think of it. And we were talking about birds, and he has a gray. And he said, oh, my, he said, you would just love it there. I said, why? He said, because you would just gravitate to these big Amazons that are there. And he said, he told me, he said, if you ever get a chance to go there, he said, you have to call me. Because I was there 2 years, it was a missionary, and I got to know everyone and everything there. And I can tell you what are the best safaris to go on, the best. I could hook you up so well. And I always remembered him telling me that. He said, you would just love it there. I just know. You wouldn't be afraid of anything. I said, no, probably not. So long as I knew that I was safe, you know. He said, oh, no, you wouldn't be. And there are some safaris that you can go on that are better than others. And he said, you have to call me if you go. Absolutely. I'll make all the calls for you. He says, I'll set you up really good. So I remember what he said to me. So hopefully at some point in my life that's in the plan for me. I don't know. But, yeah, Amazons are gorgeous. There's all different colors. I think the colors vary because of where they are born, like, you know, raised, and the mixture. Oh yes, they are the most beautiful birds that there are, and they talk well, but they don't talk as well as the African grays. They don't have that vocabulary, but yes, they do. They'll nod their head and shake their head no, and, you know, yes, no, and they will say an awful lot. And they are the kind of bird that if you get them when they're a baby, just like any other bird, you imprint on them, and they will protect you forever because they're so large. You know, they would puff out too, just like Leo would. And it was really funny because Leo just never liked males. My former husband, you know, my husband that passed, and my son, oh, my gosh, his wings would come out and he'd be all puffy. He's just like a puffball. And we kind of chuckled about it because he was like on the defense. Don't come too close to her. No, 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 no. And that's nice. That's a nice feeling. And, of course, my cat is like that too. But, but you know, the Amazons and any kind of bird, they can see everything. I think they can see really far. So I guess, yeah, you know, since I had a bird, I guess that would be something that would be one of my guides. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I would say it's probably more, I would say a guide and maybe more on the outer circle because that
mm-hmm.
just clicked with me when you said that their vision, that they have extended vision. And so what that bird does is it watches out for anything that's coming close within what I call your inner circle, which is where your highest guides and animal and spiritual guides as well. And that way I believe we all have, I mean, all of our guides, human, I keep saying that, and that's really the improper term for it, but these are spiritual beings that if they many of them lived many human lives. They haven't lived a physical life. They haven't incarnated for a very long time because they've reached that level, if you want to look at it that way, they've reached the level of no longer necessary. So they've reached a total and complete state of grace or universal understanding about life in its entirety. So when I say humans, I just mean that we often will see them in a human form. They may be American Indian descent. They may be a monk. They may be African American. They may be, they may have a very distinct era to them and presence to them. They may be royalty. So they have that where the animals are a little bit different. They don't really have the same hierarchy, of course, with animals. But they will warn the inner circle so that our inner circle stays close to us, guides us, protects us. But then, it would just be like if you had a security system in your home, you would have, things that would go off or in your car. But then you would have, in addition to that, maybe you have something that's in the street or around your fences that first would notify you if someone had even crossed, if you had a big yard or you lived on a farm, you would be notified if someone had even come onto your property, and then your inner circle would be around your house, maybe your monitors or your security cameras or your security.
That makes sense. System. That makes good sense.
So to me, the bird that I feel, and I feel like it has, and I know some birds have that, but it seems like it has that spiky thing around its head too. And
okay.
Very, very much a preener to me. They are very, very, very strong ego, very special, very verbal. They're very noisy, they communicate with the rest of their species and even other species. And they feel that they're very easygoing, but they feel like they may be leaders and the bird kingdom in the wild, that they're more, it doesn't feel like they have a lot of enemies, but they have more animals not afraid of them because they're going to eat them, because they're not, I don't believe those types of birds are carnivores, but I could be mistaken. I mean, I know some birds are, you know, owls, hawks.
I think they're vegetarians. I mean, like, I can only tell you about Leo, but I've seen Amazons before. They just eat a variety of a diet, not like the giraffes. Giraffes are vegetarians, and they love to take the leaves off the trees and all of that. But Amazons and, like, even the bird that I had, he loved turkey and chicken and fish, anything you could give him.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think Amazons are like that. They have a very varied diet. They're not just seed eaters. They like all kinds of stuff. So, they'll always say, well, like when you're in Africa, you know, some animals are meat eaters and some are vegetarians. And, you wouldn't be bothered by a parrot that size. I mean, they stay up in the trees. They'd be probably more afraid of you if you were there. But, that would be such a sight because they come in all kinds of colors, Maya. Beautiful yellows and blues and a little bit of black like on their heads and around their beak, and their eyes are big, and I think you could probably communicate with them pretty well if you weren't afraid of them, because they can be really big. They are really big birds. They have to have a huge cage. I wouldn't be opposed to having one. I don't know how it would get along with my cat, although, you know, I'm going to have Dixie Girl on Friday until Monday, so you know, her and Mushy, and, you know, he's my cat. I mean, he'll sit next to the cage, and they kind of look at each other, and they're both looking out the window. I mean, it's no big deal. None of my cats ever jumped on even Leo's cage. Never. Yes, one of them. Reggie would go up there, but he would just sit there and lay. And Leo never bothered him. Never. because, you know, we are always worried. I always close the doors because it could take one chunk out of a bird, I mean, out of the cat's eye or something, and, it could really hurt it. So I was always careful with the bird. I never left them unsupervised. I was always around, so I was always careful of that. But parrots are beautiful. Oh, yes. There's different kinds of parrots, too. You know, the Amazon is one of them, but there's another kind, too.
And the ones that we're talking about, even if they're carnivorous, they don't feel to me like I would compare them to, say, an eagle or a hawk. They don't feel to me that they would attack a live animal for the purpose of eating it. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I just don't get that feeling. So they may be, what's the word that I'm looking for? They may take advantage if they see an animal that's, you know, down or has died naturally perhaps or was killed by something else. But I don't feel them being the same way that I would feel a hawk or an eagle. And I'm not sure how correct that information is, truthfully. I don't know enough about them. I don't know if you do.
No, but you know me, I'm typing away, I'm looking them all up. There are all kinds and types of Amazon birds, medium to large. The Amazon species is the most colorful. It's got the yellow and the blue. They're just magnificent to see. And there are these real, there's a lot of depth to the color. It's not pale, and it's not real dark, but they're just gorgeous. They really, really are. Maybe I should tell my son to get me a parrot. Get me a big bird. Oh, he'd die. Oh, God. You know, there's all kinds, you know, they have all kinds of parrots. They have, the smaller ones. They're like little green ones. And those come from there, too. I mean, there's just tons of them, all kinds of them.
Well, those I've seen because those green ones, I believe, I've even seen those at pet stores or
yes, exactly.
Places, but I don't remember seeing any of the more exotic type animals, and I don't even know how legal it is to transport them with the new diseases. I know that if they're born in the U.S., a breeder is okay, but I believe I heard something not too long ago because it wasn't there some kind of avian bird flu,
yes, you're right about that. But I think now, I don't know what the chance, I mean, I don't know that the big birds come over, that they bring them here so that they can have little hatchlings. I think there's quite an abundance of parrots born here in the United States. I don't really know. I would hope so anyways. I mean, I think there's a good control, and I don't think they'll bring them from an area if, you know, they won't allow them in the United States. So, they're just magnificent. They really, really are. I'm looking up types of large parrots. Oh, can't look up that one. But while you're talking, you know me, I'm always researching something, and I think it's really good because that's how we really learn what is really out there. There's no other way. Oh, yes, so many of them. You should see these pictures. They are magnificent. So if you ever get a chance, everyone, go check out parrots from the Amazon, and you're going to see these beautiful. They're just so gorgeous. And when their feathers open, they're all different colors, you know, from underneath, and some of the other feathers come up to the top. That's how Dixie is. She's called an ectolectic. But the only problem with her, I mean, she has beautiful colors, an orange, red, a blue, but she started picking her feathers when she was a baby, and she's been to the vet so many times and a bird doctor, and sometimes it's just nerves, and we don't really know. Except I do know when she's here. Huh? Pardon me?
It's stress related, like OCD to me.
Yes, exactly. And you have to keep them busy. And as we have talked about this, when she's been here, she really does well here because she's in my window. I'm in the office all the time and talking to her. And of course, she's got Muzzy with her, and but she's always seeing cars go by, hearing them go by. So her attention here is not that of being alone. And she usually does very well, and her feathers start to grow back when she's here. They get like a fuzzy, they're a fuzzy feather, just like when they're first born, that's how they come through. And I was just there to see her, and she's looking pretty good because Jen, my daughter-in-law, is taking her out of the cage and spending a lot of time with her. They like to be loved, they really do, and if they'll allow you to do that, you're really lucky. Because you should see what Jen does with this bird. I mean, upside down, she kisses its beak, you know, she clips its nails. I mean, and she holds it. She holds her upside down in her hands, and that bird never tries to bite her. Not one time have I seen it. And it's because Jen had her when she was a little baby and took her, you know, as her own, and she nestles her in her neck, and she never bites at her, never. Now, if I tried to do it, the last time she was here, usually I could get my hand in the cage and she wouldn't bother me, but one time she grabbed for my finger and caught it a little bit. And I don't know why, but I think sometimes it's an adjustment. When she doesn't come here for a long time, I'm probably going to have an adjustment with her now, then she gets a little funny. So I just stay clear of that. You know, I talk to her, I feed her, and usually she lets me hand feed her, but I don't ever go into her cage with my hand because that is their home. And that's one thing you learn about parrots of any kind, that on the outside, that's your place. On the inside belongs to them, and they don't want anybody going inside their home. And I learned that a long, long time ago. Now, Leo never bit me. Leo, I would hand feed and everything. He was fine. And the only time I got to hold him was just before he passed. It was wonderful. He let me hold him and cuddle him. And, you know, my son had always said to me, well, Mom, you see, he did get to hold Leo, because I never tried, because he was older when I got him, and that's dangerous when they're older like that, you know. Yeah. But because they don't trust that, you have to earn their trust, you really do, just like anything else. But yeah, I could see that kind of being my outer circle, kind of hovering around, okay, let's see what's coming in. And they have eyes like hawks anyways, you know, their eyes are really, really good, fine-tuned. And, yeah, I could see that for me. Yeah, really. Now, there's a hyacinth macaw. Macaws are really big. It is this most beautiful blue, almost all blue except for around its beak. It's got some yellow. Really, really. And yellow around its eyes, but big eyes like a human. Big, big eyes. Well, now you're going to get me hooked on looking at parrots, and I'm going to be bugging my family. Well, looks like you got to get me. Okay, I got another guide. Well, I can't have a lion in my house, and I can't have a giraffe. But, it's amazing. But there's a lot of them in the Amazon. I'm looking. If you go to Amazon Rainforest Birds, you're going to see every one you can imagine there. You know, some of them have hanging nests. So we could do a topic on birds, my goodness. But anyways, I think the most thing that makes me feel good, it's a toss, but I really think it's the giraffe. It's their face. Their face is just so sweet. Like, it doesn't get angry. It doesn't show anger, where the lion can do that, but the lion can be very gentle too. And when I think of them, I think of their big paws, a lion's big paws. And I would treat it like a cat, like a domestic cat, because I know cats really well. And I wouldn't want to be on the ground with them someplace. Although my story is about that, you know, that she does sit with the lions. So, and I don't even know where that came from. I guess something nudged me to write about that, to say that that's one of my animal guides. Would be a lion for sure. And then the giraffe, see, because the giraffe, so the lion could cover the ground for me, and the giraffe could look far ahead. Okay, we're good to go here. Can you see it now? And there's Natalie walking with her lion and her giraffe. And, you know, lions and giraffes do not, they can walk together, but a lot of times the lion, because, see, the lion cannot really get the giraffe down real easily because they are so tall, but they have the long legs, and that's what they go after, is the legs. I mean, I have seen pictures of that, but they don't usually. I think that lion would have to be really desperate, because there's other things that would be lower to the ground rather than attack a giraffe. So,
yeah,
but, you know,
it's for the jugular, and they can't do that with a giraffe, so they have to be able to get it to the ground.
Bring the giraffe down. And that's, it is very difficult to bring the giraffe down. Yeah. So, but it does happen. It really does happen. So, yeah. So it's, you don't have another animal guide, Maya?
Well, I have, I have a few. I have an owl, and I have a, I have a dragonfly that, that's not really an animal. That's a little bit different, but that represents, it's connected to my spiritual connections, and it helps me to recognize when something is being portrayed to me as positive, but it's negative. I can, I often hear, which I was going to mention too, a lot of people will say, can I see my animal guide or totem? Do I hear it? Do I get pictures? And the answer is anything and everything is possible. Some people will have dreams that are just seem to be about a particular animal. Other people will, see them in the sense of, like how we might see a ghost. We see a flash of something, and,
right.
It's so fast. We're like, did I just see that? Some can hear it. They can hear the, if it's an elephant, they might hear the trumpeting of the elephant. They might hear the stomping of the feet of the elephant. So, like with the hummingbird, a lot of times, now some people, your naysayers or your non-believers, that's just tinnitus or however you say it, that's ringing in the ear. But this is very, very, very distinct. And this is a hummingbird. I'm sorry, this is a dragonfly. And you can hear the buzzing of it. And they also make, and I did not know this until I looked this up, because I kept hearing a noise and I knew that it was associated with the dragonfly, but I had no idea. They make, it's very hard for the human ear to hear it because it's in the decimal or, the tone of it is, I guess, below what we're able to hear or above
right.
what we're able to hear. But it's actually a call of distress. Like if the dragonfly were being attacked or what was being confronted by danger, let's say it got trapped in a spider's web, it would make that noise. Now, we could be standing right next to, in real life, literally, realistically, we could be standing next to a dragonfly that had just gotten trapped in a spider's web. They would be making this noise and we would not hear it. But I guess because it is, it warns me of, and it's very, very specific. It warns me of just, and it has not come to me very often because I haven't had the need for it. Others take that position, but that, and then I have, I believe, an owl, and the owl helps me. And the owl, it's really funny because the owl has, and I'm not good, I love doing accents just to be funny, but I'm not good. People are like, that has got to be like the worst British accent. If you even try to be British, you would, you're just slaughtering the countries. But it almost, the owl is more, I hear it telepathically, but the funny thing is it has a very distinct voice, and it turns its head and it blinks its eyes, and it's really what I would call snotty, actually.
Uh-huh.
It just gets so, like it'll blink its eyes like, seriously, you don't know this. I have to teach you this.
Does it puff out? Does it puff out like the domestic bird? Does it puff out, the owl?
It does. I call that posturing. When animals do that,
yes,
when they
yes.
make themselves, we call that, with the dogs, we call that posturing. And we have to be
mm-hmm.
careful here, because when males or females, when they start posturing, you have to be careful, because that's language for there's about to be, you know, be careful because somebody's fixing to go down. So
yeah.
get in there and do it. But it does, but it's more wise, and it more explains things to me. And for whatever reason, why my spiritual guides are not filling in the information or helping me, I've never questioned it. I've just accepted it. But the owl. So I mean, I believe that I have several. I have a lot. I also have a wild Mustang, and believe it or not, this wild, to me, it's like a Mustang. It's a wild, very old horse, and it's some people would call it a paint horse, because it's got. Nowadays, those are very, very expensive horses to own, but it's got blocks of color, like splotches of color, like a pinto, some people would call
it. Oh, yeah.
And it's very small, and it's very wild, and it doesn't go near strangers. But the funny, interesting thing is that it would be a natural enemy of the wolf. The wolf would be a predator to the wild horse. Wolves will attack in a pack. Again, that may not be their first choice of a meal, because it's very difficult to separate the herd and to find a weak horse. And horses, of course, are known for their speed. But these two are not, they do not have any problems getting along. They are fully accepting of one another and work in harmony. And what the wolf is not able to see or to go, the horse is. The horse can view things because it's not, what's the easiest way for me to explain it? Okay, for example, a wolf, if we were walking through the woods and we were to see a wolf, most of us would be alarmed. We would be, you know, we would be a little bit frightened. We would be unsure of its agenda. Is there a pack of wolves? And especially if we were out in the desert or out in the wild, you know, a wolf would be somewhat of a threat to us walking around. But if we were to see a pack, or if we were to see a wild horse or a wild Mustang, we would have a completely different feeling. We would see, we would see the horses. We would say, look at those beautiful horses. You know, that's amazing. It wouldn't be something that would be intimidating or fearful. So that's kind of what I'm shown, that they work together, because the horse can go places where people aren't afraid. And, our other animals are not intimidated, although it does have to be careful, because it's the natural food source for some animals. So it has that advantage, where the wolf has to be, is much braver and is feared by many, but cannot wander through places without there being, scattering. So the horse can get more information, and it can run back and deliver that to the wolf and then pass it along. So that's kind of how it's been explained to me, and it's been for me. So they kind of each have their own job. It's very interesting to me, and I think that's true with a lot of people. And, again, these can be animals that, like people collect things in their kitchen. Some people collect cows, and believe it or not, we can laugh and say, well, what does a cow do? But you'd be surprised if you think of a cow and a goat both. Did you know that we can completely survive, especially a goat? A goat may seem to some people like, what's special about a goat? But a goat, we can completely survive on what a goat has to offer us, including companionship. And that's true to a point with a cow, but not quite to the extent that a goat. But a goat is, they're very friendly, like dogs would be. They can offer companionship. They can make milk. They can make cheese. If worst comes to worst, they can also provide us with meat if we absolutely need it. And, of course, they can procreate. So if we have goats, we could be the sustenance that we can get from goats is really enough that we could survive. We could survive if that's all we had was goats. And again, they're very companionable animals. They have a very special bond with humans that most people don't. I had a goat. His name was Billy. Of course, that was before I had my son Billy, and he was hilarious. He used to do tricks for us. And he knew what the tricks were. We used to put on, we had his horn shaved down. You can have those done surgically. And we had his horn shaved down, but he used to do these, we had these little like hills. I mean, they weren't really hills, but they were just like, you know, parts of the property. And he would run up to the top, and then he would do these fancy moves coming down, these jumps and twirls and spins. And, oh, he was hilarious. And then he would like to fight, so we would put on football helmets and butt heads with him. He didn't have holes, he couldn't hurt us. And he would also, even when he was grown and he was castrated, because otherwise they get a very different attitude, as the males do as they age. So this was a male, this was a true goat, and he was castrated at an early age so that he had a softer, personality, no testosterone, yeah, basically. And he would still get up in our lap. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Was he a miniature?
No, he was just 60-pound dog sitting in our lap. At one point, I had a litter. This was not a litter I planned. This was somebody dropped a female off that was pregnant, and she was a mix, and she gave birth to 10 puppies. So I lived on a mini farm, and I had horses, but I had a patio outside my room, and I had chickens and ducks, and I had what I thought was a duck, but ended up being a one-eyed goose, puppy, chickens, and two goats, and you know the beach chairs, the lawn chairs that are real low to the ground?
Yes, that you can put your legs up. Yeah.
Right. Now, they had a barn with hay, a place that was warm, but in the warm times, this was in Southern California, so it still got cool at night, even in the summer. But they would curl up together. And at one time, I actually had pictures. I'm not sure. Unfortunately, those were from a very long time ago. But can you imagine looking out your patio window from the bedroom and seeing goats, chickens, ducks, a one-eyed goose, and all at kittens and puppies, all curled up together.
Oh, what a sight.
Yeah,
that would
be
the sweetest thing.
So that's the craziest thing that I've ever seen. So I guess I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Well, you know, talking about animals curling up like that, I know I've seen on Facebook where, you know, a dog and a cat, rabbits, they just like to nuzzle. You know, sometimes they just like to keep warm, and that's what they do. They don't realize what they're up against, a big, huge dog. But I was thinking about, you know, it's strange, like I am drawn to Africa, and I do have two guides that are from there, and I can't remember as a little girl ever thinking about it. It wasn't until I got older. Now, why is that? I mean, I guess I had to be more developed spiritually to realize that I did have animal guides. Now, you know, I had some near misses of accidents, and I almost died. Now, I don't think that was an animal one. I think that was something angelic. But the near miss of the accident for my son and myself and my husband, do you think maybe that could have been a lion that pushed us out of the way? It could have been. I don't know. I still feel that that was angelic too. I don't think that.
I think they can work together. So I think perhaps it was the angelic.
Oh, maybe it warned. Maybe one of them warned one of the angels or something and said, you know, you better get yourself over here because my giraffe could have seen further ahead if you look at it that way. And that's possible.
I mean, it could have been an angel that called for your lion, and your lion would have had the strength easily to block, to move your vehicle, or the giraffe.
Yes.
I mean, either one, but I would say it would be my feeling from my guides that in the sense of that type of protection, first you had a divine intervention, for you and I, that would be God. And now that you're bringing it up, I hadn't really thought about it, but I do believe that there was an animal protecting you. And just so you know, too, I always knew that I had a special, long before I understood a lot about, I mean, I knew about reincarnation and all that, but before I fully had embraced a set of ideals, let's say, while I was still exploring, I knew I had gifts and I was using my gifts. I was not sure where I stood with reincarnation, and I knew that I was drawn to wolves and I could feel their energy. I mean, I could literally feel them running at night and howling, and I could almost picture myself doing that. And I often wondered, was I a wolf? But I've since come to understand, again, that doesn't make it true, but it is true for me. I do not believe. I believe we can shape shift, which is completely different. But I don't believe that we can return and live a physical life as an animal when we've been human, nor can we,
the other way around, right. Right.
You were saying that it came later in life. Well, it did for me, too, and I know it's time to wrap it up. So, I think that's something that, you know, we do tend to learn a little bit later in life. Animals are one of the, you know, more later things that we begin to unlearn. I mean, there's so much. Think about it. When you're involved in the spiritual profession, you're doing both. I mean, you've done readings for many years, and now you're running a business. And I do this full time. A lot of people say, well, what's your job? And I'm like, well, this is my calling, but this is my job. This is what I've devoted and dedicated my life to. So I spend, you know, a lot of hours, and I'm always, you know, trying to learn it. And I learn more from my clients. So I really hope that those that are listening, if you missed the first show, that you visit Star's page. And I know, you know, that you can listen to part one from last Monday, and we'll have the topic up, you know, soon, probably tomorrow or Wednesday for next week's topic. And if you're interested, I would really, you know, I hope I'm not overstepping, but I mean, I would just really encourage you. There's so many talented experts at STARS, and of course that's with a Z, that I know you would be thrilled, and it would be so fascinating and interesting to find out what perhaps your animal guide or totem is, or any affinity or any experience that you had, especially one that involves something other than an average pet. Not that you can't have a dog or a cat, it's possible, but generally will have one type of more exotic pet. So with that, I want to wish everyone who is celebrating a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving. I hope that you, family and friends, everyone has safe travel and that your food turns out good if you're cooking.
Yeah.
And if you're eating, I hope you don't have to do like they do on that movie where the turkey falls apart. I hope that your smile is genuine and you really enjoy your food.
I know. I am not, you know, because it's a special day for me. They don't want me to cook. So, my son was over today and he said, well, I really like your turkey, Mom. You know, I don't really want to go out to eat. I said, well, then you better tell me because I have to go get something like at Honey Bake. They have pre-cooked ones and then you can put your seasonings and everything on. And I said, how about I just do it for Christmas and that'll work out good. But because it's kind of late, you really need to have everything. But we're just going to go to Cracker Barrel. I don't know what time. It'll be late because my son said, oh, my gosh, the Detroit Lions are on between 1 and 4. I can't leave the house. I said, okay, that's no problem. I have plenty to do. No biggie. It doesn't really matter to me. You know, I really like my turkey. I love the smell. I fix it just like my mother-in-law, who was Italian. I fix it like hers and her potatoes. But anyways, yes, everybody have a great Thanksgiving and a great week, a safe week. And Maya will send me off the new topic, and I think somewhere around the holidays we'll be taking some time off. You know, I'm looking at the calendar here, like, you know, the day after Christmas is a Monday because Christmas is on a Sunday, so perhaps we won't do that day. I don't know. I know we won't be doing the 19th because I'm going to Disney. I'll be just coming home from Disney. My son and his family invited me for a few days to go to Disney, which I did last year. So Maya and I will figure it out, and I know she needs some time off also, but you'll be made aware of it. But do come back next week. Oh, what happened to my voice? Do come back next week. We'll be here, and we'll have another great topic, and watch for it on Facebook and go to the blog, and do check out All My Stars. We are also family-oriented. It's really a great, great group. It's not like they're all independents and they fight against, you know, they work against each other. It's not like that at Stars. I just wrote to somebody today. I said, welcome to the Stars family, and that's the truth. And that is STARZ, like in zebra, psychics.com. Check out the Mystic Living Today magazine. I'll be working on that issue at the end of the month. And I already got stuff coming in. It takes me 3 days now to do this thing. But, you know, it's one of my other passions. So with that, I will say goodnight. I love you, Maya Moon. And I love you, Candy. Stars Candy Ranson. Stars Prince, you know, Priestess Candy Ranson. And I know she's listening. And it'll be good. And next week, I don't even know what we're going to talk about. Do you, Maya? Not yet, right?
Right. Yes.
It's going to be a mystery, but it'll be a mystery.
Yeah.
And do check out the blog on Stars because Maya does some great stuff, and on Tuesday she always recaps what we did tonight. And she always makes me feel like I'm something, and you really need to read the stuff on Tuesdays because she highlights me so much. And a lot of times I just sit there and cry because it's so beautiful. She just writes so beautifully. You need to read all of her stuff. It's just amazing. And it comes from her guides. She channels it. And I love when she says, I convene with my guides. I just love that. Anyways, I'm going to say goodnight, or I'll keep talking until quarter after or whatever. And have a good evening. I love you, Maya Moon.
I love you, too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.